Amen. I appreciate that special. I love that song. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Jude. Jude is the last book in the New Testament before the book of the Revelation. So you can find Revelation back up just a little. You'll find Jude. We've been learning for several weeks about the love of Christ. And today I'd like to speak to you about keeping yourselves in the love of God. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. We've got to learn, as we talked about last week, the importance of speaking the truth in love. There's no greater love that we can show to somebody than to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly why Christ came, was to die for us. And that's the greatest message that we can give. It would be impossible for us to say that we love somebody if we don't give them the gospel. Amen. If we believe that heaven is real and hell is real and there's only one way to get to heaven, how much would you have to hate somebody to not tell them how to get to heaven? If we really believe people are going to die and end up in the lake of fire forever, how much would we have to hate them to not tell them? And so if we love people, we must warn them. And it's not always an easy thing. And in the midst of our text today, we have a challenge and kind of some guidance to help us in how to proclaim the gospel to people and how we've got to be spirit-led in that and how we need to learn to make a distinction sometimes about how to go about sharing the gospel with people. But the most important thing is that we share the gospel. Somebody told Dwight Moody one time that they didn't like the way that he shared the gospel. They didn't like the way that he evangelized. And he said, well, I don't care much for the way I do it either. How do you do it? And they said, well, I don't. And he said, well, I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it. But there is something to be said for doing things the right way. Having tact is a good thing. Some of us don't really know what tact is. I wish Brian was here because I'd single him out like I just did. But some of us lack tact. I told you before about the man who had a hard time with that. His wife had gone on a trip. She was going overseas. She was going to go to Rome and spend some time in Italy. And she flew to New York City. And when she got there, she called home to check in. And she said, how are things? And he said, the dog died. She said, what, the dog died? Why do you have to be like that? Why can't you be more tactful? He said, I don't know what you want me to say. The dog is dead. She said, well, you could have built up to it. You could have said, when I got to New York, the dog is out on the roof. Okay, and then when I flew and I got over to London and checked in, you could say, well, the dog, honey, the dog fell off the roof. I had to take him to the vet. He's in the hospital. He's not doing well. And then when I finally ended up in Rome and checked in, you could say, I'm sorry, honey, but the dog died. He didn't make it. And I could have handled that. You could have worked your way up to it. He's like, well, I'm sorry. I'll try to do better. And she said, by the way, how's mother? He said, she's on the roof. Sometimes we need to learn to have a little tact. Maybe that joke is lacking in tact. I don't know. All the other mother-in-laws are mad at me right now. I love my mother-in-law. Just let the record show. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read beginning at verse 17. We want to learn to give the gospel to everyone we can. We want to learn to have wisdom in doing that, but there are a few things here surrounding where we're going to focus today. We really want to focus on verses 22 and 23, but there are things around that are important for us to understand in the context. So we're going to cover verses 17 to 25. Verse 17, the Word of God says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, please bless your word today as it's preached. Help me, for I'm nothing without you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give us a compassion for the lost, a concern for their eternal souls. Give us courage and boldness to speak the truth in love. And Lord, help us and use us to bring you honor and glory. Help us and use us to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us as we plant, help us as we water, and we pray that you would give the increase. Please bless your word now. Lord, if there's someone here who is not born again, I pray that you would work in their heart today, that they would realize their need for a Savior, that they would repent and trust in Jesus and call on your name today. I pray for the saved, Lord, that you would help us all to be surrendered, to be greater witnesses for you. Lord, just convict our hearts today and change us. And we pray that you'll get all the glory today and that you will grow your church. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we consider this passage this morning, as I said, I really want to focus in a little while on verses 22 and 23 and what the result of keeping ourselves in the love of God is. But before we get to that, we have to notice, first of all, that we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard. If you look back at verse 17, he says, "Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Now, Jude is writing to the churches, and he's warning them because he said, I wanted to write to you in this time. And it is, by the way, the last days really started at the ascension of Jesus Christ, and the last days will continue until the rapture. And so we're in these last days, and he said, I want you to know that there are going to be people who are going to come, and they're going to preach heresy. They're going to come into the church, and they're going to preach false doctrine. They're going to preach a false doctrine, a false gospel about a false Christ, and it's important that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Friends, we have to get in the Bible and learn the scriptures and learn what it says and live those things out in the church. So we have to be on guard because of these scoffers. These are mockers who would preach things that are all, that are contrary to the Word of God. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." And so, listen, Peter has the same warning. There's a parallel between Jude and 2 Peter, especially here in chapter 3. And he's saying, listen, there's scoffers, these mockers are going to come in the last day. They're going to come preaching a false doctrine, and they're going to scoff against the truth of God's word. They're going to mock at the truth that the end of things is coming. They're going to say, everything's been going on the same way it always has. It's nothing's changed. They've been saying forever that Jesus is coming again, and where is he? And friends, people are saying those things even today. Amen. There are men on so-called Christian radio preaching today that the rapture has already happened, the millennial reign of Christ is just allegory, that those things are either already done or they're never really going to happen. It's all metaphorical and it all doesn't exist. I'm telling you that these false teachers, these mockers and scoffers of the truth of the Word of God are alive today and they're preaching this false doctrine today. Amen. You've got to know the truth or you'll fall for a lie every time. Amen. They're scoffers. They're sinful. He says back in our text, they walk after their own ungodly lusts. Their lifestyle is not right. Their lifestyle is following after ungodly desires. They're not governed by the truth of the Word of God. They're governed by whatever they feel like doing. And how many people today do we see abusing the grace of God? God has given us grace and He's given us liberty, but we're not to use the liberty that we've been given for an occasion of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But we're supposed to use our liberty to stand for the truth and to live for Christ. Amen. We have Christian liberty. Amen. I hope you understand that today. Amen. But we have a problem sometimes in the church of getting confused doctrinal truth with personal preferences. We need to understand we have liberty today, that there are things that are not spelled out in Scripture, and we have liberty as Christians, but we do not have liberty to live in sin. Amen. It's important you remember, though, that we don't define what sin is by our own preference. God's Word defines what sin is. Amen. It's funny to me that so many times we get so pharisaical. I've seen people get so bent out of shape about things in the church that aren't even in the Bible and yet not be upset about things that are in the Scriptures. Amen. Friends, it ought not to be so. If it's in the Scriptures, then let's stand for it. Let's die for it. But if it's not in the Scriptures, then let's don't strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Amen. But these are sinful people who are walking after their own ungodly lusts. They're separate. They separate themselves. They remove themselves from the truth. They remove themselves from the church and what it is. They remove themselves from God's Word. And the Bible just simply says that they are sensual. 1 Corinthians 2:14 uses that word sensual. It says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Friends, Bible teachers ought to be Spirit-filled men. We need to be Spirit-filled as we lead our families, as moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. We need to be Spirit-filled. The things of God's Word are not carnal, they're not natural, they're not sensual, they're spiritual. Amen. And we need to be Spirit-filled. But these are sensual, they're spiritless, having not the Spirit of God. And friends, listen, we're to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. And we need to not be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be praying. We need to be seeking God's face. We need to know the truth of the Word of God so we can stand firm on the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles. It's not complicated, friends. It's this book. You take the Word of God and you stand for the truth of the Word of God. When I get up here and start giving you my opinions, I have abandoned what I need to be doing. Not here to give you my opinion. I'm here to give you God's truth. And when you study and you read books and you read commentaries and you listen to guys on podcasts or you listen to guys on the radio, you need to be very careful who you listen to. And you need to study those things to see whether they're so. Search the Scriptures. So we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard. And then we need to be growing. We need to be growing. Look at verse 20. So that's them. Mockers and scoffers, sensual, sinful people that are going away from the truth of the Word of God. But then he brings this contrast. And he says in verse 20, "But ye." That's the way they are, but you need to be different. And he says, "But ye, beloved." And by the way, I love the word beloved. When John talked about himself, he said, "The beloved apostle." When he referred to himself, he said, the beloved. Why? Because he understood that he was loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find that the key to all of this is love. It's because he loves us that everything else comes. And so he says, that's the way they are. They're scoffers. They're sinful, sensual, carnal people. But you are different because you know the love of Christ. When you understand how much God loves you, it changes the way that you want to live. But ye, beloved, how are you loved? Well, I'm loved because God's given me life. In him we live and move and have our being. Every breath that I take, every beat of my heart, every synapse that fires in my brain is because God loves me. He's given me my family. He's given me my family. For 15 years, Melissa and I have been married, and she's been trying to figure out what she did to deserve me, Brother Bildon. She still doesn't know what she did to deserve me, but I'm sure she's tried to repent. God has given me life, and he's given me my wife, and he's given me my children. He's given me this church family that loves me and prays for me. He's given us freedom in our country. He has given us so much. But all of that pales in light of the truth that he gave himself. Christ gave his life, suffered and bled and died to pay for the sin that I have committed, and I am beloved. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We need to grow in the faith. How do we do that? Praying. First of all, he says praying in the Holy Ghost. We're to pray in the Spirit. And we don't pray in the flesh, we don't pray in the carnal mind, but we pray in the Spirit. That means that we're Spirit-led when we pray. It means we pray about spiritual things. It means that we're focused on the spiritual, not on the physical. And so we pray. Prayer is vital in our growth. You cannot grow if you're not praying. We're never going to be able to accomplish God's will without spending time with God in prayer. I would encourage you to have a prayer list like we have in our bulletin and use that prayer list. I would encourage you to have your personal prayer list. Friends, you need to pray for yourselves. You need to pray for your family. You need to pray for your church family. You need to pray for our nation. You need to pray for the world, the missionaries, the pastors around the world. There is so much that we need to pray for. And we need to ask God to do the growing in our lives and in the church. Amen. Remember, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. If we're going to grow spiritually, God's going to have to do the growing. If we're going to grow as a church, we're going to have God do the growing. And so we've got to praying in the Holy Ghost. And then he says, keeping. So we're praying and we're keeping. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This word keep means to hold fast. There's a couple of different words in your King James Bible that deal with the word, with the idea of keeping. This word keeping is different than one of the words, phulasso, that means to prevent from escaping, like you want to hold something prisoner. And there's another word keeping that just has the idea of a fortress, a keep, if you will, a stronghold. But this word keep, it just simply means to hold fast or to maintain. So maintain yourself, hold fast yourself, keep yourself in the love of God. And friends, when we look at God's judgments on the churches of Asia in the Revelation, we see that there were those who had left their first love. They didn't maintain their love of God. They got away from their love of God and they became legalistic. They stood for the truth, but they had let go of love. And friends, without love, we are nothing. Without love, we can do nothing. Without love, it doesn't matter what you do. Paul said, I could give myself to be burned. And if I don't have love, it means nothing. Amen. Friends, you've got to keep yourself in the love of God. You've got to maintain your love of God. And let me help you out. We love him, why? Because he first loved us. Amen. The more you learn about God's love for you, the more you'll love him. If you feel that your heart growing cold towards God, you need to go back and read about the death and resurrection of Christ. Amen. You need to go back to the gospel. Amen. Listen, if you're born again, and you can read about Christ giving his back to the smiters, and having the hairs plucked from his face, and how they spit on him and beat him and railed on him. If you are truly born again and you can read how they crucified him at a place called Calvary, and it doesn't warm your heart towards God, friends, there's something wrong.
Amen. Amen.
If you can read about the Creator of the world hanging on that cross and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and your heart is not stirred, friends, something is desperately wrong.
Amen.
Keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't forget the love that he has for you. Don't forget who he is. Don't forget what he's done for you. Keep yourselves. So we're praying, we're keeping, and we're watching. He says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Too many times we take our eyes off of the cross, and we also take our eyes off of heaven. We set our affections on things on earth. We set our affections on things here. We lay up treasures for ourselves here. When the Lord says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we don't want to lay up treasures here. We want to lay up treasures in heaven by being faithful to God and serving him and living for him. Doing everything that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, living for him and living for his kingdom. Not setting our affections here, but setting our affections on things above.
Amen.
We've got to become eternally minded. Listen, Americans are notoriously short-sighted. Long-term business plans in America, they'll call a long-term business plan a 5-year business plan. Maybe a 10-year business plan. That's a long-term plan. In places like Japan, when businesses there have a long-term business plan, it's a 50-year or a 100-year plan. They're looking far beyond right now. They're looking beyond their life. They're looking to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Friends, and let me help you out. That's not enough. We can't just live for our lives or even the lives of our children or even the lives of our grandchildren. Friends, we've got to live for eternity.
Amen.
We're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Friends, we have hope, that earnest expectation, that promise of life everlasting, and that's what we ought to be living for. We're looking for and longing for and hastening the day. But so many of us love the here and now so much. We're not anxious for heaven. We know some brothers and sisters who have been anxious for heaven. We've known some that were ready. As a matter of fact, we know some right now today that are ready. They're anxious. They're longing. But friends, we shouldn't wait until we're just physically broken down to be anxious and looking for glory.
Amen.
It ought to be every day.
Amen.
We're praying, we're keeping, we're watching, and we're witnessing. And we're witnessing. Because we're on guard against false teachers and those who are sensual and sinful, we're not allowing them to influence our lives, but we are praying and keeping ourselves in the love of God. We're watching, we're looking for eternity, and we are witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're evangelizing. Look at verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Friends, we've got to be evangelistic. God has left us here. And as you put off the false teachings and you get in the truth, as you're praying and keeping and watching, the natural progression of that is to be witnessing. When you get influenced by false teachers, you will not be a witness for Christ. When you're not praying and walking in the Holy Spirit, you will not be a witness for Christ. But when those things are right and you're staying in the truth and staying in love with Jesus and you're looking for eternity, when you're eternally minded, you will naturally be a witness for Jesus. Because when you see your family that don't know the Lord and aren't in church, your heart says they need Jesus. When your heart is focused on eternity and you meet people at the store, your heart says, that person, I need to give them the gospel so they can end up in heaven. When it's been in the bulletin for half a month and your pastor keeps nagging you to death about it and you've got soul winning outreach on Tuesday nights, you say, I got a lot of stuff going on, but I need to be there with my church so we can go and we can go from door to door and take the gospel to our community. Because there are people all around us who need Christ. When we are witnessing, or I like the word evangelizing, because that's a transliteration. It's the Greek word is basically sounds a lot like that, evangelizing, and it means to give the good news. Proclaim the good news. I like that. When we do that, we've got to first of all be compassionate, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Now, this word difference, we sometimes you read that and you might think, and I used to think that it meant that we're making a difference in somebody's life. We're making an improvement in their life, but that's not really what it means. What it means is making a distinction. Some we have compassion on, others we save with fear. We're making a distinction. And the only way we're ever going to do that, friends, is by praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, and being Spirit-led. Because some people are broken, and their sin has broken their life, and they desperately need God's grace. Have you ever met somebody like that? I mean, they're at the end of their rope. Sin has destroyed their life and they have no hope and they're looking for hope. They're looking for something to help them, someone to save them. And we need to have compassion on the brokenhearted. Listen, when somebody's broken like that and they're looking for a Savior, we don't need to come in and just beat them over the head and tell them how awful they are and it's their own fault and that's why they're in this position. That person is broken. They need compassion. And we ought to have enough grace and humility and wisdom and be Spirit-led enough to know the difference, to make a distinction. Friends, there are people around us today whose lives have been absolutely wrecked by sin. And they continue to wreck their lives by sin because they're trying to ease the pain. They're trying to ease their conscience. They're trying to ease the pain. They do it with drugs and alcohol and fornication and whatever else they can fill their lives with because they don't know any better. And they've been fed a false gospel of works righteousness that if they could just be good enough, they might get into heaven. And it's so discouraging and so disillusioning that they have no hope. But what they need is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to know that they cannot be good enough, that they'll never measure up, but Christ loved them anyway, and he died for them, and they can have forgiveness, and they can have life everlasting. And we have to have the compassion to give them that truth. He says, make a distinction. Not only do we need to be compassionate, we need to be courageous. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We have to be courageous. We get the picture here. I don't know about you, but when you think about somebody saving somebody from a fire, I think about the fireman. I think about the fireman who kicks in the door, takes the axe to the door, and goes into the burning building to rescue people and to save them out of the fire. Friends, that takes courage. There are other people. There are people who are broken in their sin and they're desperate for God's grace and mercy. There are other people who are prideful. There are other people who are stubborn. There are other people who are deceiving themselves into thinking they are good enough to get into heaven on their own. And those people, they do not need compassion first. They need warning. Their house is on fire and they don't even know it. And they don't need somebody to timidly come up and, hey, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, God loves you, and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. And their attitude is, well, I know God loves me. I mean, look how wonderful I am. Of course he loves me. They have no idea the danger they're in. They say that they have no sin. There are so many people around us today, friends, who have no idea that the wrath of God is abiding on them. And somebody has to have the courage to give them the law so that they can have the conviction of sin. Somebody has to have the courage to tell them of the judgment that's coming and to open their eyes to the reality of hell and the lake of fire. And friends, that's not an easy thing to do. It does take courage. I don't know if you're aware of this, but people don't like to be told they're sinners. Listen, you know that you're a liar, right? Some of you aren't sure. How many of you have ever told a lie? And if you tell a lie, what are you? That's right. I talked to a young lady the other day, had a hard time with that. I said, how many people do I have to murder before I'm a murderer? Well, one. Well, how many lies do you have to tell before you're a liar? Well, it depends on why you lied. Does it? I lied to my mama because I was scared she'd kill me if she knew the truth. And I just made it worse. Right? That's not a good motive. I think that preserving your life is a good motive, but mom didn't. Right? So it doesn't matter. If you tell a lie, you're a liar. But surprisingly, people don't like that. They know they're liars, but they don't want me to point out the fact that they're liars. By the way, that's why I ask questions. Have you ever told a lie? See, accusations harden the will, but questions soften the conscience. And so that's what we want. We want a softened heart, a softened conscience. We ask the questions. I'm not trying to judge them. I'm trying to open their eyes that they are judged by God. Amen. We've got to have the courage to warn them of the judgment to come. We've got to have the courage to pull them out of the fire. And friends, I know it's an awkward thing to talk to someone about their soul. I know it's an awkward thing to give them the law and to warn them of the judgment to come. I know it's an uncomfortable thing, but how much more uncomfortable are they going to be in hell? Pulling them out of the fire, friend, the fire of God's wrath is coming. And without Christ, there is no hope. And they can keep going around and believing that they're good enough. They can keep going around and think that they're going to be good enough to get in, but they are not. And they need God. They need Christ. They need to hear and believe the gospel.
Amen.
We need to be compassionate. We need to be courageous. And notice also that we need to be careful. Heeding even the garment spotted by the flesh. Heeding even the garment spotted by the flesh. We need to love lost people. But we need to be careful not to get pulled back into sin. If any man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. When we see somebody in sin, we need to have a meekness and a humility about us that understands that if I'm not careful trying to pull them out of the pit, I could fall in the pit. You got friends or family who are drug addicts or alcoholics. You better be careful as you try to help them that you don't fall into that same trap. We've got to be careful. What is it? Do we hate them? No. We hate even the garment that's spotted by sin. We hate sin and all of the effects of sin. We don't try to act like it's okay. Friends, we've got to stop sugarcoating stuff. We've got to stop whitewashing things. Sin is sin and it's deadly. It's nothing less than deadly. Spiritual poison. Sin will destroy your life. And it's not okay to dabble with it. Praying, keeping, watching, and witnessing. We've got to be on guard. We got to be growing. And lastly, we glorify. Look at verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. We glorify God. Why? Because He is able to preserve us. Jude has a lot to say about eternal security. Friend, when you trust Christ as your Savior, He gives you everlasting life. It's a free gift that cannot be earned, and it's a free gift that you cannot keep yourself. He keeps you. He is able to keep you from falling. He preserves, and He has the ability, the power to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now, I don't know about you, but this thrills my heart. When I kneel before the throne of my Savior, Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, when I kneel before the throne of God, He is going to present me faultless before the presence of His glory. Me, all of the wicked things that I've done, that I've thought, that I've said, me who have been so disobedient in all of the things that He's called us to do, the little things, prayer, Bible study, and faithfulness, and witnessing, how much I failed as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as a Christian. Me. Jesus is going to present me faultless before His throne. That's a pretty good reason for the very last thing, and it's perpetual praise. To Him, to the only wise God, our Savior, that's Jesus, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. This morning, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, will you stand with me? A song of invitation. Are you on guard? Learning the truth of the Word of God, because you're studying, you're diligent to study to show yourself approved unto God. Are you growing? Are you building up yourselves in your most holy faith? Are you growing as a Christian? Are you growing in God's Word and truth, keeping yourselves in His love and witnessing for Him? Are you glorifying Him with your life today? It's perpetual praise, but it starts now, that we give Him glory and majesty and dominion and praise and honor and all of it today, now, and forever. If He's convicting your heart this morning, you need to trust Christ and be saved today. You're saved, but you need to get some things right. You come. We're going to do just like we did last week. We're going to sing the whole song. There's no rush here. You have to start putting your stuff away and getting ready to leave. We're going to worship God with this song right now. And the prayer altars are open if you want to come and pray. You pray right where you're at. But let's worship the Lord this morning. Be obedient and responsive to His Spirit as we sing.
Page 521. 521.